Who is the Secular Coalition and where have you been?
The Secular Coalition for America is a 501c4 nonprofit lobbying organization. We are based out of Washington, D.C., and we represent non-theists. So that would be everyone from atheists to agnostics, humanists, those who consider themselves to be humanistic Jews. And we lobby on behalf of non-theistic Americans and our 11 member organizations. We lobby at the federal level for separation of religion and government.
That's different from the separation of church and state?
Not necessarily. It's really just another way to phrase the same general thing. We lobby to strengthen the secular character of the government. We want to make sure that the laws that are put into place are based on reason, logic, and science rather than religious ideology. And we want to make sure that these laws do not privilege religion over other organizations or over the non-religious, and that they don't insert religion into our secular laws.
Well, do you feel that you're fighting an uphill battle?
It's definitely a challenge. Non-theistic Americans represent a significant portion of the population in the United States and really throughout it. In the last Pew poll that was done on this topic, 40 million Americans, which I think is roughly 16% of the population, identified themselves as having no religious preference. 4% of all respondents came out as, you know, identifying themselves specifically as an atheist or agnostic. And we outnumber many different religious groups. We outnumber Jews, Muslims, Episcopalians, Mormons, but we have very little political clout because we haven't been organized. And what we're seeing is that our secular government is really being challenged from all angles. The office here in Washington, D.C., we are celebrating our 10th anniversary this year, and we have always lobbied at the federal level. But we're seeing some of the most egregious legislation coming from the states. And that's the reason why we have decided to launch chapters in all 50 states, plus Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico. And so that's why we are launching the chapter there in Missouri, so that we can help combat the legislation that we're seeing at the state level.
I don't know if you have it right in front of you or not, Lauren, but could you give me an idea, as far as Missouri is concerned, what you consider the most egregious acts or proposals that have been made in Missouri recently?
Also, I wanted to, that point that I just made, I also wanted to throw out the statistics for Missouri in particular. You know, according to a 2012 Pew Forum study, 23% of Missouri residents do not express an absolute belief in God, and 41% disagreed that religion is very important to their lives. So a great deal of people across the country and even in Missouri believe that, you know, church and state should really be separate. And so that's one of the things that we're going to be working towards. To answer your question regarding the most egregious legislation, there were several bills that the Missouri legislature has recently considered that are religiously inspired. These are the types of things that we will be looking to fight in the future. One example was SB 749, which blocks federal health care law and denies access to birth control for women that work for an employer that has a religious or moral objection to it. So that's one example for us of something that we take an issue on. Because, you know, the Secular Coalition for America, we don't take an issue or we don't take a stance one way or the other on whether or not the government should mandate any type of health care coverage. But it's our position that if they do mandate coverage or if they do create, you know, any type of law, that religious organizations should not be exempt from following the law. And you know, the arguments that have been made on behalf of this law are that it's preserving the religious freedom of the employer, but we kind of see that as the opposite. We see that it's infringing upon the religious liberties of the employees because it's allowing the employers to impose their personal religious beliefs on their employees. And a couple other examples of recent things that we've taken, or recent bills that we've taken issue with. H.R. 959, encouraging all Missourians to take part in the National Day of Prayer. H.B. 1278, which would reauthorize the Pregnancy Resource Center tax credit and continue to place the state's official guidelines on clinics that employ religiosity, misinformation, and other types of information to or misinformation that attempt to persuade women to continue their pregnancy, and all this is based on religion. SB 749, that is essentially protecting religious refusal laws, and of course the HB 251, the Don't Say Gay Bill. So these are all laws or bills that we see as, either discriminating based on religion, asking for religious privileging from the government, inserting particular religious beliefs into the secular laws. And so these are the types of things that we will fight against once our chapter in Missouri is up and running.
How do you get around the idea that your arguments could interfere with my freedom of religion or my practice of my religion, which is guaranteed by the Constitution? You touched on that with the first bill you talked about. But if I'm going to you're saying that I am not free to practice my faith, which the Constitution guarantees me. Is there a line you have to be careful about stepping over, or how do you work around that issue?
You know, we don't question anyone's right to hold their religious beliefs and to practice their faith. That is a right that is afforded to all of us. But true religious freedom is the ability to practice your religion and to hold those religious beliefs as long as those beliefs and practices do not infringe upon the religious freedom of others, break the laws of the country we live in, or expect special government privileging. And the Supreme Court has actually ruled on this several times, upholding this value. There are other examples that we see where, people's personal religious faith or, religious practices goes up against our secular laws. And every time the Supreme Court has found, rightly so, that the laws of the government supersede the laws of, the individual's right to practice certain tenets of their faith that would go up against those laws. So, for example, two examples I can give you. Certain sects of Mormonism still practice polygamy. We don't allow polygamy, as that's not a legal thing that is available to American citizens. Another example would be Rastafarians. They believe in smoking marijuana. Well, our laws are firmly against marijuana usage by American citizens, and we don't make exceptions for Rastafarians because it's their religious belief. So I think we have to put it in perspective and to look at, the laws that let me end there.
Okay.
I think I made my point.
Well, then I have to ask you, where do you folks come down on the side of the Rastafarians? Should they be allowed to smoke marijuana, or should they be forbidden from smoking marijuana?
We don't take a stance on whether marijuana should be legal or whether it should be illegal, just like we don't take a stance on whether healthcare should be mandated or whether it shouldn't be mandated. What we're saying is that if it is mandated, then religious people should not get an exemption from following United States law. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. Well, so this goes back to, I suppose, the scriptural reference that for those who believe, you render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and you render unto God the things that are God's.
I am not familiar with that.
Yeah. Well.
But I mean, yeah, if that kind of puts it in perspective.
Yeah, that's fine. I just thought I'd ask. Well, the faith community in Missouri, at least, and I imagine in a lot of other states, is a very strong force in our legislative halls.
Mm-hmm.
They pretty clearly wield a lot of influence, and they wield a lot of influence not just in the hallways but with voters. How are you folks going to be able to equalize that, or is that your goal, to equalize that kind of involvement or that kind of pressure that you're able to exert on these people?
Yeah, I mean, we believe that religion and government should really be kept separate, as do 54% of Americans across the board, religious, non-religious, overwhelmingly, Americans believe this and agree with that tenet. And so what we're doing is we're not looking to infringe upon anyone's right to have their beliefs or their religion. We just don't want it inserted into our secular government. And so we're going to do what we can to prevent our laws we're going to do what we can to prevent religion from being added to our laws. And we're going to do that by creating these chapters and training the people within the chapters on how to lobby. We're going to be giving them lobbying training. We're going to be providing them with educational and promotional materials, with websites. We're going to help them get organized. And, you know, the first thing that they're probably going to be doing, a lot of these chapters, is going out and talking to people and kind of educating people on secularism in general, as well as, you know, our community of non-theists, because a lot of people have very misguided notions about who non-theists are. They think that we don't have morals, we don't have any values and we don't believe in anything when that's actually not the case. You know, you probably know several atheists. You just don't know that you know them. We are your neighbors, your family members, your coworkers, and our morals are probably very similar to your morals. We just don't believe that they come from a supernatural, being. We believe that they come from within. So we do hope to kind of neutralize any influence that specific religious organizations have on the secular government there in Missouri, as well as all other 50 states, because we believe that a separation of religion and government is really the best guarantee of freedom for all Americans, whether they are religious or not religious.
Is the secular coalition interested in things like legal challenges against chaplains in the legislature, or against having In God We Trust on our money, or things like that?
We do take a stance on issues such as In God We Trust on the money. We do not initiate lawsuits. Some of our member organizations do that. We, like I said before, we have 11 member organizations that include groups like American Atheists and the American Humanist Association, and some of our member organizations will initiate lawsuits. That's not something that we do at this time or have traditionally done, and we don't necessarily have any plans to do that in the future. We will focus on working with legislators on both sides of the aisle, religious and non-religious. And we're also open and willing and eager to work with Missourians that are religious themselves. Because, you know, we're not only open to non-theists. There, as I said before, separation of religion and government, it benefits everyone, including religious people, and we'd love to work with anyone, regardless of their faith, that supports strengthening the secular character of our government.
Do you folks very often find what I'm sure some people would think would be rather astonishing, and that is, do you find that there are times when you are actually allied with the faith community on some issues?
You know, there are certain groups within the faith community that we tend to agree with often. For example, Catholics for Choice is a religious organization that often comes down on the same side of the issues that we do. And you know, that's kind of why I throw out there that we're willing to work with anyone, regardless of their religious beliefs.
You indicated earlier that you folks have moral standards. The Secular Coalition mm-hmm. has moral standards. Most people would think, how can you have moral standards if you don't read the Bible or if you don't read the Quran or you don't read some holy book? Where do the secularists find their moral compass?
Well, I think that non-theists, and there are different groups of non-theists. We have one group in particular that really focuses on this issue heavily. They're the American Humanist Association, and they focus very much on morality and being a good person, and you know, that's one of the most important things to them. So you know, there are different factions within our community. So I can't speak for everyone, but I think that we largely, as a community, believe that our morality is something that we are taught from our parents. It's something that we're essentially born with. I mean, I've even seen studies of, I saw a study a couple of years ago of three-month-olds, and they showed them some pictures of, you know, someone pushing someone else down, and the three-year-olds who have no concept of religion and have no concept of, you know, being able to understand the English language at this point, were able to tell and react to the moral situation and the immoral situation. These are three-month-olds. So, you know, that's kind of an indicator that this is something that we're really born with. I think that there is a lot of emphasis for religious people on being good so that you can secure your place in the afterlife, whereas as atheists, we don't believe in an afterlife. So this life is really all that we have. And so we really want to make the most of it and try to leave the world a better place and you know, love our families and you know, build relationships and leave humanity better than we found it, because we don't believe that there's anything else after this. This is our one shot, so we want to make it count.
In your 10 years of existence, what kind of hostility have you faced in legislative halls, whether it's there in Washington or at various other state levels?
Say that we, I don't really know if I'm comfortable answering that question because I have not been here 10 years. I can say that as of recent, we have experienced quite a lot of positive feedback, which may be surprising to some people. We go to the Hill and we meet with people that are Democrats, that are Republicans, that are liberals, that are, you know, Tea Party members. And sometimes the offices that we go into, we expect to get a negative response from. And quite often, it has been the opposite. We will sometimes hear, wow, we did not know that. We are thankful that you brought this information to us. And we're talking about from, you know, offices that we did not expect to receive a good response from. Other times, we'll go into offices that we expect to be hostile, and a staff member will tell us, you know, just between me and you, I don't believe in God either. So it's actually interesting, some of the responses that we get. And even though some of these, the offices that we initially expect to be, you know, more hostile, even though they may not necessarily see things our way, this is an education process. The fact that they are open to listening to us, that they, you know, understand that they have non-theists in their districts and that they're there to represent all of their constituents, regardless of religion. These are, you know, ways for us to make inroads and to start to educate people and to work with them going forward so that, you know, eventually we can maybe come together on some things.
What's been the thing you've had to most overcome, though? What's been the hardest thing about selling your point of view in a society or in a system that, at least outwardly, wants people to know that it's righteous and biblically based?
I think the most difficult thing is trying to combat the stereotypes that people have about atheists, the idea that we're not moral, you know, like I mentioned earlier. I mean, they've done studies where, you know, they've asked people, who do you trust more, a rapist or an atheist? And people said that they would trust, they would be more likely to trust a rapist than an atheist. They've done other studies that said, who would you be more likely to vote for, an atheist or someone who had cheated on their spouse or a Muslim or a homosexual? And every time, atheist comes out on the bottom of the list. You know, we've also identified nearly 30 members of Congress who are non-theists, but there's only one, Pete Stark, who has made that information known, because the rest are so fearful that it will have repercussions on their chances for re-election. So the stereotypes that we have to combat are a huge challenge for us, and also the fact that when we meet with a lot of these offices, even of members who are receptive to what we have to say, a lot of times we have to keep it pretty hush-hush because, you know, even news of us meeting with certain members is enough to get them into hot water, which is really a sad statement on our society, because as American citizens, we are all entitled to participate in our government and to have our lawmakers represent us regardless of our religion.
How soon do you think you'll have somebody actually in Missouri as a face for the organization?
I think it will be very soon. We have our initial organizing call on Thursday, June 28th, and that call is going to be at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. We already have quite a few people who have reached out to us that are interested in joining the chapter. On the call, we're going to kind of get everyone together that's expressed interest. We're going to help them begin to create leadership roles and to organize, and we're going to be moving forward on that front. And we expect to have all of our chapters in all 50 states up and running by the end of the year.
Have you had any trouble raising money? It says you're a 501c4, and you talk about your 11 member organizations. How hard is it to raise money?
I mean, we are doing pretty well. I don't want to say like...
I'm not asking you to give me specific amounts or anything.
Yeah. We haven't started fundraising at the state level, so I can't speak to that. But, you know, we've been around for 10 years, and we have consistently, grown. Our budget has consistently grown due to support of people within the community that are really tired of having religion pushed on them. When we first started out, we were, you know, staying with members of the community and sleeping on people's couches, and now we have a fully staffed office on K Street, just off of K Street in D.C. So we've definitely grown as an organization, and we've done that through our fundraising. But we still have a long way to go, always.
Well, if you're on the K Street corridor, at least close to it, that means you're kind of up there with the big folks in many ways. Go ahead.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, we're just off, actually, just off of K Street. I think that, our supporters are pretty passionate about protecting the secular character of our government. So, you know, I mean, yeah, I don't really know what else I can add to that. But
Do you very often run into public officials who are more interested in converting you than listening to you?
You know, that's really difficult for me to say because I don't actually do the lobbying, so I don't really want to speak on behalf of lobbyists without asking them specifically what their experiences have been. But, I mean, I can tell you that we held a lobby day in March where we had 200 non-theistic Americans from all over the country, and we brought them to the Hill, and we did over 125 meetings with members of Congress and with staffs of members of Congress and Senate staffs as well. And there were a few examples of people receiving negative treatment or, you know, had staff members trying to convert them, but the majority had overwhelmingly positive experiences, even when the members and their staffs didn't agree with our position on any given issue.
You know, sometimes as I watch the committee hearings on these bills and others that have come along the way, there's not a whole lot of opposition to a lot of them. And I kind of wonder if one reason for that is because people are kind of scared to come out and say no, that they oppose some of these ideas. Do you find that among the general public at all in your dealings and their reactions, that they're really kind of afraid to step forward or come forth?
Yes. And I can say that people are afraid to come forward, and people are also afraid to make it known that they are a non-theist. You know, for someone to come out as an atheist is a very big deal, especially for people who grew up in families that are religious. You know, it's equivalent on many levels to coming out, you know, gay. And so that's one of the reasons that we really encourage people, when they're ready and, you know, if it's safe for them to come out as an atheist or as an agnostic or a humanist or whatever label of, you know, that they want to give themselves, because there are so many negative stereotypes, and we believe that one of the reasons those stereotypes continue to persist is because people don't have anyone to refute them. They have negative ideas about atheists, and there's no atheists there that they know that they can say, well, gee, you know, they say this about atheists, but I know, you know, Bob, and he's a great guy. So I don't know. Maybe they're not quite right about that. The reality is that most people do know atheists. They just don't know that they know them. So, you know, when we encourage people to come out when they can, it's for many reasons. It's because, A, they can help to combat some of the negative stereotypes. And, you know, when people get to know us, they'll be much more comfortable with us. And also, B, because we really need to speak out against a lot of this legislation. You know, we are obviously against it because we don't believe in God, so of course we don't want God, you know, inserted into our secular laws. And our United States Constitution, you know, agrees with that principle. It set that principle forth. But what people don't think about is that this is really beneficial to everyone. You know, I was speaking to another radio host this morning in Rhode Island that mentioned that their state legislature opens with a prayer from a Catholic priest. Now, what about the people in Rhode Island that are Christian but not Catholic? Maybe they are Episcopalian. Maybe they're Baptist. You know, there are all different sects of Christianity. So, you know, opening with a Catholic prayer affects them too, because that's not the way that they choose to practice their Christianity. So, you know, keeping religion out of politics altogether, it also benefits religious people and people of faiths that are happen to be a minority, or the sect of a mainstream faith that happens to be a minority, and of course people who do not believe.